What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a fantastic guest today. Me. That's right, folks. It's just me for this one. This is episode 8. Got some thoughts a brewing, and I thought that I'd just kind of share it with everybody. But before we kind of kick things off, let's talk about our sponsor, 4Eyes. So oftentimes in consultative conversations, I'm asked, what can I do to help dealers sell more cars, right? That's a question that comes up all the time. And to that question, first of all, I'd say it all depends, right? Depends on your setup, depends on your brand. I mean, there's a lot of factors. But one of my secret weapons that I'm going to share with you guys, and not only is it a secret weapon, but you can actually try it out for free, is 4Eyes. Look, go to the link in the show notes. It's a 60-day, absolutely free trial. Check it out. And, you know, no questions asked. If you don't like it, if you don't think it brings value, if you don't think it helps you sell more cars, don't sign up for it. But give it a try. Again, absolutely free. 4Eyes. If you're not using them, you have to do yourself a favor and check them out. All right. So a couple things happening right now that I wanted to discuss. And let's start with kind of where the shift of things, or the way that I see it anyway. So what's happening right now is very, very interesting. And I've talked about it a lot in the previous episodes leading up to today. And that's just the kind of the digital shift that I'm seeing where, you know, in the current set, I'm like, when you really think about marketing at a car dealership, and I'd say probably during the pandemic, it became more acute, probably for lack of a better word, or more, you know, kind of laser focus, is this concept of, you know, just putting your inventory out everywhere, right? Having your cars displayed in as many different channels or many different places as possible. I mean, not just the endemics, but Google, Facebook, Bing, Yahoo, etc. And so things are changing, right? In the current setup. Like we're going from ultra high demand, not enough supply, which gave us an advantage during those times, to, I mean, there's still a supply issue, no question about it. But the demand, I wouldn't say that the demand is down, because digitally speaking, when I look at the numbers of leads and I look at the number of digital traffic at a dealership, those numbers are holding pretty strong. Yeah, I mean, we've seen some drops, but it's still better than pre-COVID times, or at least with the dealers that I'm seeing. And so, you know, the what's interesting, or what I'm seeing in the market right now, is that we're kind of still in that place where we're kind of putting all our eggs in the digital basket. And I'm really, really concerned about that, because think about it this way. If you have all your inventory, if your strategy is all about the click, and what I mean by that is just having my cars out there in as many different places as possible, then you're kind of hindered a little bit in the current situation right now, because the consumer, although has interest, they're apprehensive. Why? Because of, you know, financial constraints, interest rates, things of that nature. And so what you can't do digitally is tell your story. You can't tell, if you know, when your car's on Auto Trader, or your car's on AIA, or you have a VA strategy on Google, you can't tell the customer why they should buy from you, right? You can't tell the customer, you can't give them differentiators, you can't give them reasons to choose you over the competition. And so it's a very interesting time. Now, granted, if your strategy is I want to have the most cars at the cheapest price, then you're going to see some clicks and you're going to see some advantages from that. Because, of course, having your cars in all these different places is going to be advantageous because you have the cheapest price in a certain market or, you know, backyard or whatever, however you want to look at that, you know. And even then, you're still going to have some restrictions because not only do we have these constraints that I talked about earlier, but you also have the situation where, look, we're in an alternative market, right? Like buyers are having to settle oftentimes because they can't find the vehicle that they want. Now that's becoming more or less of an issue than it was maybe a year or 2 years ago, but there's still a lot of customers that are, you know, holding off, or they're going to wait for to talk to their you know, significant others about, you know, potentially, do we want to get into this deal? Do we want to wait? What are we going to do? Are we going to lease? All these things, right? And so, what you need to be thinking about right now is how can I, have your digital strategy. And I would say, you know, it should be your marketing budget should be heavily focused on this, you know, on having your vehicles or giving exposure to your vehicles as much as possible. And again, I'm not saying that this is wrong. I want to be very, very careful with that. Because for me in particular, like my marketing strategy is very, very simple. How can I drive as many people back to my website, right? What can I do to drive people back to my website? And then the flip side of that is, what can I do on my website to convert that traffic? And what I mean by converting that traffic is, how can I take advantage of that traffic once it's on my website and get either two goals, right? One is give that customer enough of a reason to give me their information, you know, hence the lead part of it. Or number two, which to me is the most important and what we should be focusing on the most, is how can I convince the customer that their digital experience is a reflection of what they're going to experience physically at the dealership, right? That's really what you should be trying to do with your digital strategy. More than capture a lead and get the customer's information, which, by the way, I know I talk a lot against leads, but if you do it right, right? If you do it right, you know, leads can be very helpful. The problem with the lead game right now is that, you know, the people that we're converting to leads are the low funnel customers, and we focus so much on the lead part of the business that we forget that that's only 29%, 30% of customers are actually going to submit a lead form, and we don't pay enough attention to the 70% that are never going to fill out a form. And out of that 70%, I think the statistic is 40% or 41% are never even going to call the dealership. They're going to do nothing but show up to buy the car, right? And so, you know, yes, the lead component can help if it's done right. It could be a lower funnel. If you give the customer a reason why they should give you their information, then you can really capitalize on that. But don't forget about the most important piece, which is to convince your audience that they're going to have a better experience. They're going to have a better experience, physical experience at your dealership than anyone else. And the way to do that is to convince them digitally. Meaning when you get that customer, when you capture their intent, right? You're capturing the consumer intent from digital platforms, and you're taking them into your sandbox, then the flip side of that is convince them that they're going to have a better digital experience at you, or they're going to have a better physical experience or in-store experience at your dealership because their digital experience was able to, you know, tell them or convince them of that. So it's very, very, very important. And then what's super interesting to me right now is it seems like companies like Facebook, Google, Microsoft are also realizing how important that is, right? And the reason I say that is because notice how first we you know, Google came out with vehicle listing ads, which was great, right? It's a, in my opinion, it's a step of from search. You actually have a image of the vehicle that you're searching for, and you know, it's just better. It's a better experience for the person that's searching when they can actually see the car and they can see it in their, you know, first page of Google. And I mean, I think that there's a lot of advantages of that. But now they introduce PMax, where they're capturing all these assets and they're using that to kind of identify which channels are going to perform the best with that content. And then they're serving that up. And so what you can do with that is a couple of different things. Now it's not just about the inventory, but you could also talk to them about the why buy, which is something that I think is often forgotten. Why should the customer do business with you? Like, that's a very important piece. I mean, you know, we talk about the marketing side, but when you really think about it, is it really marketing? If you're 100% digital, is it really marketing? That's a question that I want to pose. Is that if you don't have a branding message, if you're not telling dealerships, or if you're not telling your audience, excuse me, why they should do business with you, why should they choose you above the competition? If you're not taking the time to tell that story, to tell the differentiators, then you're missing out. You're not really building that long-term mindshare protection or moat, probably a better way to look at it, against competition. And more importantly, in the current age that we live in today, against innovation, right? We got to think about potential technologies that can disrupt the industry, right? Potential technologies that could take some market share away from dealerships as a whole. But if you are building a moat around your business within your primary market area, focusing on the customer, right, and ultimately truly delivering an experience, which, as I've said multiple times this season, it's a feeling, right? That's what. If you're really going to focus and talk about the experience, you should be worried about: am I delivering a feeling to the customer when they're transact with me? And hopefully, your goal should be that to make that a positive feeling, right? So it's very, very important. And I think that as a marketer, I don't feel like we're doing marketing oftentimes. I think that we're just making sure that our cars are out there, that we have the right inventory, that we're pricing aggressively and all these things, but we forget about the message itself. And that's a mistake. I'm telling you that's a mistake. And that kind of leads into the next topic that I wanted to talk to you. Potentially a little, maybe, you know, a little bit of a radical thought on my part, but, you know, I'm going to share it with you guys. So if you haven't seen that clip of Elon Musk talking about advertisers, and I don't know the conference, but, you know, there's this clip out there where he's being asked about advertising and the advertising boycott over at X, and he pretty much just, you know, tells the audience to, I won't get into it here, folks. We're gonna try to keep it PG-13, but if you haven't seen the clip, I don't know, you're living under a rock, because it's everywhere. And it's very, very interesting to me, because, you know, when you think about, you know, obviously on the retail side of the business, Tesla and Elon is a controversial topic, right? But look, you can't argue with success. You just can't argue with success. Like, for whatever reason, or not for whatever reason, I'm getting into my thoughts on why it's been successful, but that company has been very successful. Not only do they sell combined more vehicles than all the other EV competitors out there, but this guy has done it without spending a single dollar on advertising. So kind of think about that for a second. 2 million plus cars out on the road. And he's done that without spending a single dollar in advertising. Why do you think that that is the case? So I'm going to share my thoughts. It's not because it's an EV car, right? That has nothing to do with it, in my opinion. It's not because, you know, he has the best looking car, you know what I mean? Because, you know, quite frankly, some of the vehicles are just very plain and basic. It's not, in a lot of the aspects, it's inconvenient, right? Like, you know, you're taking a trip, you got to stop somewhere and charge your car for 40 minutes when, you know, a nice vehicle, you can go and put gas in it and, you know, 5-10 minutes and be back on the road. The reason why, Tesla in particular has been able to do what they've been able to do is not because of the technology more so than it is because of the ownership experience. And we forget that. Like, you cannot take a nice vehicle and then expect customers to take that same technology and then plug in that car and have the inconvenience of waiting for that car to get charged and then expect the customer to, oh yeah, love it. It's just, that's never going to work. And that's why, in my opinion, you're seeing some of these EVs efforts or initiatives kind of get cold feet. And, you know, a lot of these manufacturers that were so, bought into the EV experience just a couple of years ago, just a couple of months ago in some cases, you know, are really starting to change their tune. And it's because, one, the customer isn't voting, right, with their purchasing power. And number two is obviously all the issues that, you know, that already came with that, which were, you know, more infrastructure legislative things. So, you know, think about that, right? If the customer really was, if they were really making the switch because of the technology, because it's EV, then we would see more of that market share come, you know, be taken away from the Tesla, from the Tesla vehicles, but that's not the case. You know, Tesla has done what some of the major brands in the world, or all the major brands of the world, have been able to do, and that's to take a brand, right? To take a brand and make it part of your identity, right? In most cases, by, you know, having a Tesla says something about you, the consumer. Just like, having a Mac, for instance. It's that same premise, and I've talked about this on the show before, but if you said, you know, Tesla is now going to make a hotel, you could kind of envision what that hotel would look like. Same thing with Apple. If you said, you know, if I told you, hey, Apple's going to come up with a chain of hotels, we could kind of almost envision what that experience would be like because of what that brand message has said and what that brand message represents. There's not a single automotive dealership, there's not a single group on planet Earth that can say that. None. I don't care if you have the most dealerships in the entire planet. There's not a single dealership that evokes that kind of thought or that has that branding power that you could really imagine them going, crossing over into a different industry and understanding what that experience or that design or that outlook would be. And I think the reason for that is the branding piece that oftentimes we're missing. We're so, what's the word? We're in FOMO, right? We have this fear of missing out. And we want to have our vehicles everywhere because if they're not everywhere, then somebody's not going to find my car and they're not going to be able to buy it and I'm going to miss the deal. Or if I don't focus on getting the customer's phone number and their email and I call them until they buy or die, I'm not going to get the deal, right? I'm going to lose the opportunity to sell the car. And that's simply not the case. It's just simply not the case. I think that a lot of dealerships, I think it'd be surprising for a lot of dealerships if they thought about it in the reverse and they said, you know what, I'm going to make sure that my vehicles can be found, right, and have a presence on these platforms. But what I'm really going to do is I'm going to take my marketing dollars and I'm going to create a brand message that an audience is going to be able to associate themselves with. And here's the thing, folks, when you really think about it, it's not that difficult to do. And I've said that multiple times on the show. It's just not that difficult to do, right? I mean, you can differentiate yourself. It's fairly easy because for the most part, everybody's doing it the same. And again, I go back to the Tesla ownership experience, right? Compare that ownership experience to what is available to everybody else. It's just completely different. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to truly do that, now you have something. Now you have a message that's going to really going to stand out. It's really going to make you the alternative that customers are going to want to gravitate to. And here's the other, you know, kind of extra benefit of doing it that way. You can actually charge more. That's right. I said it. You can actually charge more. And customers will pay it gladly. You think that a customer isn't going to pay $1,000 more, for instance, to buy the vehicle at your dealership when they're going to have a totally different experience? In whatever form that is, you decide, right? Maybe it's, less time. Maybe it's they don't have to go to the dealership at all. Maybe you can offer them the opportunity to buy from text. Maybe you have, I don't know. I mean, you come up with whatever it is that you want to build your brand around. But the customers will pay more for that experience because they don't want to have a subpar experience. Like, they don't want to have a subpar experience, right? And the customers are willing to pay more to have something better. But you have to truly give them something better. Having digital retail on your website isn't better. That's just not better. Like telling the customer that, you know, they can transact online is not a better experience. Because in reality, if we really want to get down to it, they can't, right? They can maybe start their deal online, but you're still expecting that customer to come into the dealership, go into the box, and do all those things. Right. And if you're going to build your brand around time, then you have to do that. There's many dealerships out there that have tried this approach. And then the customer comes into the dealership after they've completed all this online paperwork transaction. And number one thing that happens is they don't have their information. Nobody can find the person, the customer's application. Now the customer's like, well, I gave you all this information online. Why do I have to do this again? So that's one thing that happens with that. And so, I mean, now you're creating friction, right? The other thing is that when you do that, you know, you have to honor it, right? If you tell the customer, hey, do this, and you're going to save an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of your time, then make sure that they do that. Make sure that when they come to the dealership, they have a VIP experience. They go to the dealership. Maybe you require them to test drive the vehicle. So they test drive the vehicle. It's like, yes, I like the car. I like how it feels. It doesn't, you know, like, you know, for me, I'm tall. So whenever I buy a car, I have to make sure I drive it because, you know, some cars just don't fit my legs and it's uncomfortable, right? So, you know, maybe you have those types of situations where you want to absolutely make sure so the customer doesn't have, you know, buyer's remorse or come back two, three days later and they want to unwind the deal. So I get that. So, you know, you have them do the test drive and then you take them to the box, right? Immediately, no wait. Like if that's what you're going to build your brand around, then you have to commit to it. But just saying it, and the worst is the dealerships that actually put marketing dollars to promote that message and then they don't follow through, which also happens a lot, folks. So, you know, like this whole concept of the way that we're, how laser focused on the digital side of things is the wrong approach. And quite frankly, as a marketer, it's kind of boring. You know what I mean? Like I'm bored. You know what I'm saying? Like I want to be able to you know, go beyond the click and help dealerships with the branding side of things. Let's get back to the storytelling. let's get back to, you know, building a some sort of differentiation around your dealership and around your brand. And let's tell that story as well. And then, sure, let's make sure that our cars are everywhere. You know what I mean? Let's make sure that we have that our vehicles are standing tall, that we have the vehicles priced accurately, that, you know, we take advantage of the platforms, the Googles, the Microsofts, the Facebook of the world, even the Endemics, the Auto Traders, Cars.com. Let's make sure that we have that opportunity to capture the consumer intent, right? Because that's ultimately what we're doing is people are searching for vehicles digitally, and we're capturing that consumer intent, and we're trying to bring them in. But man, it's got to get a little bit, we got to think about it a little bit different. We got to get back to the message. We got to start to build, like I said earlier, a moat around our business. You know, we got to start to earn mind share from consumers, because what's going to eventually end up happening is these other companies or these other technologies or these other disruptions are going to come into the business or into the industry, and we're ultimately the ones that are going to pay the price is going to be us, right? If we can earn and take that mind share now early on, then you know, it's going to give us a much better opportunity in the future, and it's going to help us, you know, quite frankly, stand the test of time. And I think that the proof of that is when you look at companies like Tesla, right? As much as that's whatever the statement is, in the industry, you got to look at that and you have to learn from that, from the successes. Again, you can't argue with success. Like, the company is taking market share away. Even the current manufacturers with their EV technology and their options that are coming out are not able to make a dent in that company. Right? And it's because of the branding. It's because of the branding. Let's not forget what that produces, by the way, which is the best form of advertising known to man that's ever existed in the test of time. And that's word of mouth. Word of mouth advertising is the most powerful thing in the world. Like, when you create a brand, when you have a brand a strong brand message, it creates word of mouth, right? Like, if somebody has a positive buying experience, they want to share that, right? But maybe, and I know that there's this whole contention on, like, well, you know, nobody talks about the good stuff. The customers typically talk about what's negative or the bad side of it. But they also do talk about the good stuff, man. Like, if you have a good car buying experience, you're like, man, that was different. That was cool. I really enjoyed. Not only did I enjoy buying the car, because everybody, you know, it's an exciting purchase. You know, not only was I excited to get this specific piece of inventory, but man, that was a good. That was a good buying experience. It was completely different, whatever it is, right? That you're providing for that customer, for that particular, or for your particular, brand message or value proposition. You know, customers will share that. I promise you. I promise you that they will do that. And that's going to be way more effective than having your cars on all these different platforms and, you know, spending all these marketing dollars out there. So anyway, folks, I think this is a good place to end it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening to my thoughts. If you have any comments or if you have any questions for me personally, you can go to the show notes. Obviously, all my contact information is there. You can reach me on LinkedIn. It's the social media platform I'm most active on. But thank you so much for tuning in. That's all the time that we have for today. And as usual, we'll talk later.